Appreciate you being here this morning. It's time for Whose Business Is It Anyway? We talk with locally owned and operated businesses and sponsors that you may already hear them on our airwaves on KMED and KCMD, but we kind of wanted to do a little deeper dive on what they are all about this time. And we're speaking with Dr. Adam Ogier, and he is with the Surgery Center of Southern Oregon. It's right across from Rogue Regional Medical Center on Barnett. And last week, I think we were talking with Dr. Adisman.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think one of the big issues we want to dispel here is that a gastroenterologist, there's a lot more than just colorectal examinations and doing things like that. It's kind of a... Why don't you just give us the whole overall take on this?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to do that. Thanks again for having me, Bill. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Gastroenterology is a field. Of course, everyone thinks of their gastroenterologist as being the person who's responsible for colorectal cancer screening. And I think that's true. You deserve to have the best exam possible. And you should really go out of your way to make sure that when you have your colonoscopy for colon cancer screening, it's done by a board certified gastroenterologist. You know, you really get one shot to do this. You should have the best opportunity possible.
And it's like anything else. The more experience you have at something like that, the better you will naturally be.
It only makes sense, right? That being said, gastroenterology as a field is a lot more than that. You know, we deal a lot with other disorders of the abdomen, issues so far as reflux or something we see frequently, and I think do a pretty good job of treating and managing. Lots of people have issues so far as irritable bowel syndrome, gas pains, and then we actually, the digestive system doesn't just encompass your gut. It also involves things like your liver, your pancreas. We're involved a lot in treating disorders of the biliary system, your gallbladder, and your bile ducts.
And I would imagine that imbalance of hormones have some role in some of this too. So you kind of have to be look at all of this.
Yeah. I mean,
enzymes. Maybe enzymes a better way of looking.
Sure.
At that.
And a gastroenterologist isn't a surgeon. We actually train as internal medicine physicians. So the path to becoming a gastroenterologist involves 3 years of an internal medicine residency, 3 years of a gastroenterology fellowship. Some of us, so Dr. D'Souza and myself, actually have done extra training in essentially more advanced procedures in gastroenterology. You really get a lot of experience that's tailored towards your gut when you see a board certified gastroenterologist.
Now, you're with Surgery Center of Southern Oregon, which is kind of an umbrella of numerous specialties. Would that be a way of putting
it? Yeah, exactly. So we have actually at the Surgery Center of Southern Oregon, there's a number of specialties that operate out of this. And maybe it's important to start just kind of discussing about what the Surgery Center is.
And what the advantage might be, because, I no axe to grind against, an Asante or a Providence. They fulfill their role. But you have would it be more personal? Is that a way of maybe looking at that?
Yeah, I think so. And maybe even big picture, I think that it's important just to look at the financing of healthcare. I mean, you can imagine how expensive healthcare is now. Mm-hmm. When you have to maintain the facilities and all of the essentially all the emergency systems of a large hospital system, the cost of that is pretty astronomical. And, part of that is financed through outpatient procedures. So, there's different parts when you go in for your, let's say, screening colonoscopy or an upper endoscopy because you have problems with reflux. There's a part of that fee that goes towards your physician, but there's a separate fee that goes specifically to the facility.
See, that's why it can be more expensive in a hospital sometimes to get the same kind of work done.
Exactly. So whether I do your colonoscopy at the hospital or at the surgery center, it's actually no different so far as a physician fee perspective. But the facility fee can be anywhere from 20 to 50% higher, if not more in some cases.
I'm told that in some cases you can be providing the same treatment, if not better, at up to half the cost.
Yeah, no, I think that's accurate. It's not just a financial issue. It's also just navigating the system. And you can imagine, a center that's built around outpatient procedures is much more easy to navigate for a patient. The check-in is much smoother. The time spent there is much shorter. The experience is a little more personal as opposed to when you're at a hospital and you have to, navigate all the different departments.
It is a massive bureaucracy. When you approach that, and I've been there, I've been there, and I can understand when, all right, I need to get my gut checked out. And so it's a lot easier. You go there, you pull into a nice parking lot, you just pull up there and boom, you're in, right?
Right.
You're in there, and it's a much more personal thing. But what kind of experience do you all have there? If you could, give the numbers as far as like how much work a year do you do?
Oh, sure. Oh, my goodness.
Because once again, you always like to go to people who do something a lot. And
right.
You know,
yeah.
That
well, that's an excellent question. You know, from an endoscopic procedure standpoint, we do about 8,000 endoscopic procedures a year.
That's about 20 a day.
Yeah. Oh, it's a significant number. It's it might even be a little more than that.
Yeah, it could be. Well, let's say 25 a day.
Yeah.
Day in, day out, 365.
Yeah. And you know, the surgery center has been open since I think around 96, and they just had their 200,000th patient come through. I mean, not maybe this past summer.
So there are surgical procedures also performed there.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And you know, there's actually an orthopedic group that practices there that does a lot of procedures there. Mm-hmm. We have a pain specialist who does injections for pain. The neurosurgery group here in Medford performs procedures there. And I think that, you know, for the right patient population, it's really the right place to go. You know, we talked about the financial aspect of it. But again, I mean, you can imagine it's not just a personal burden. It's really a societal burden. I mean, how much we're paying for all this stuff is...
anything which can actually reduce the cost and keep the quality high, or if not even higher. You know,
exactly.
In some cases, I think it's something that is worthwhile. Now, what can you do, let's say if you have insurance, can you self-refer to an organization such as yourself as a gastroenterologist?
Yeah, you can. You know, you really don't need a referral. You can contact our office directly when you're due for your screening exam. I think it's also important, you know, when you are referred to realize that, you know, you're the one who's in charge of your care. And you know, although... certainly, we all hope that your primary care provider really has your best interests in mind. You know, sometimes they have other agendas, and you want to make sure that the person they're sending you to, and this is not just true for gastroenterology, but true for neurosurgery and orthopedics. You want to make sure the person that you're being referred to is the best available, because there's really not a difference in price. What the physician charges you is the same, no matter how qualified they are.
But if you are left to just the default answer sometimes, that you might
sometimes
not be...
it's not as good as others, you know. I mean, make sure that the keywords are a board certified specialist in the procedure that you're having.
I just wanted to touch on for a couple of minutes before we take off. By the way, Dr. Adam Moshe from the Surgery Center of Southern Oregon, he's a gastroenterologist right across from RRMC on Barnett. We've talked about them before. We're going to be focusing on them a lot the next few days. And the American diet right now, so many people I know seem to have, if you were to watch television commercials, you would see nothing but antacids and proton pump inhibitors, and everything is about dialing down acid, this and that and the other. Is this something new or something which you believe that the American diet may be contributing to?
Sure. Well, I think there's a few factors. So, of course, a lot of our publicity exposure on TV and radio and the internet is related to pharmacy companies and advertising, right? So there's a lot of direct to consumer advertising that goes on that sometimes is appropriate and sometimes isn't as much so. That being said, without question, you know, the American diet has contributed pretty significantly to our current obesity epidemic.
Sure.
And there's an awful lot of diseases of obesity. Reflux, like you were talking about, is a great example.
Does that include GERD?
Exactly. Yeah. GERD. So gastroesophageal reflux disease, or GERD is the abbreviation that we might use for it. You know, a lot of that can be obesity related.
Yeah. Can some of this also be related? I know so often we're told to, we want to dial down the acid, the stomach acid. I read some research, I forget who it was, and maybe you could just, I know we're just kind of talking off the top of our head there, that in some cases, the problem may be stomach acid, which is not strong enough because it tells the valves to shut up, to shut down so that you don't have the reflux. Is there any truth to that?
You know, I think that there's components of both acid and non-acid reflux that often isn't really appreciated by the lay public because, you know, you're constantly pummeled with these advertisements that acid is the problem. Now, when you have an acid reflux event, when, you know, food, bile, you know, comes up into your esophagus, you know, that's what causes these symptoms of reflux. And like I just suggested, it's not just acid. It's also whatever bile is in your stomach, whatever food is in your stomach. You know, I think a lot of times the behavioral management of reflux is undersold, you know, making sure that you don't eat late, nothing to eat for around 4 hours before you lay down.
Sure.
Actually elevating the head of your bed. You know, everyone has seen that. But, you know, a lot of people make the mistake. They're putting pillows underneath their neck and just kind of craning their neck forward. You know, you need to be elevated from your hips up to use gravity to keep everything down in your stomach where it belongs.
But then that kind of goes where, you know, someone can come in and say, hey, I'm eating Tums by the caseload, and And then you can actually help a patient then figure out what is really needed and not just going down the non-prescription route.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's, again, the whole reason why you should see a gastroenterologist. It's not just about your screening colonoscopy. You know, we really treat, medical problems outside of that and kind of the whole person outside of that.
Yeah, and screening the colonoscopy is important, of course.
Absolutely.
I got a reminder from my insurance company. Says, Billy, you need to go. And so I know we're going to have to do that there. I really appreciate the take here. And once again, is it a five-day-a-week practice, six-day-a-week?
So our office is open 4 days a week. Our providers actually perform procedures 5 days a week, and we're actually available 24 hours a day. We're on call through Rogue Regional Hospital and of course, perform quite a few procedures there as well.
All right. We're getting to know the people over at the Surgery Center of Southern Oregon, Dr. Adam Mouget. We really appreciate it. It's right across from RRMC. Save yourself time, money, worry, effort. I think you'll just find it a really good experience. In fact, I'm going to be there for my checkup here pretty soon.
Okay? Lucky guy.
All right. Yeah. Dr. Adam Mouget, it's 8:56.